The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. The lineup is set for this year's Europa League semi-finals. Manchester United comfortably through after beating Granada 2-0 at Old Trafford. They will face Roma, who were made to sweat against Ajax. Meanwhile, the other semi-final will see Villarreal face, arguably the most impressive performance we saw today, Arsenal going away from home and thrashing Slavia Prague as we welcome in. First off, let's take a look at the odds, shall we? Manchester United are favourites, evens compared to Arsenal 11-4, Villarreal 4, Roma at 6-1. Gab Marcotti with us, Don Hutchinson and Shaka Hislop as well. Don, Manchester United favourites, you agree with this?
Yeah, I think so, Dan. I think they'll play Arsenal in the final.
Of course you do. Premier League bias.
I was commentating on Villarreal Zagreb, and my emotions were coming away from those two legs as how on earth did this Zagreb side beat Tottenham 3-0, because they were never ever in Villarreal's class. Villarreal have got a couple of players at the top end of the pitch. Gerard Moreno knows where the back of the net is, that's for sure. And they've got a rough diamond, a Nigerian right winger who cuts inside onto his left foot, called Samuel Chukwueze. He's a real exceptional talent, but I'd be stunned if Arsenal didn't make it to the final.
It's a Unai Emery bowl, Gab.
It is. And, you know, the amazing thing, and again, I never know how much weight we should give to sort of the manager's individual record in knockout competitions. But I think very few people in the history of football come close to matching Unai Emery's, obviously, function of his time at Sevilla. So whereas Arsenal inevitably, they blow hot and cold. That's kind of what they do. So I don't know. I think it's going to be it's going to be a lot closer potentially. And I wouldn't be counting my chickens yet if I were an Arsenal fan.
Meanwhile, from a Manchester United perspective, Shaq, if we were to stir the pot and upset people and get them on YouTube making all their comments, we'd say this is a major bust if they don't win this tournament, considering the quality of the opponents around them, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Given who's left in the competition, United, you think, has the beating of all of them. When you look at opponents such as Arsenal, who are second favourites, they're languishing in the Premier League. Roma, Villarreal themselves not pulling up trees in their own domestic leagues. And a United team who are 7 points clear of Leicester in third, surely Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can rotate a squad, can rest players, make sure that they're in peak form and fitness for what's to come in the Europa League. If they don't win it from here on in, they've only got themselves to blame. And if they don't and the criticism comes, it'll be well due.
It could be another semi-final, Ali, that Ole Solskjaer lose. You take a look at it, he's looking to make it fifth time lucky. The last four occasions, he's been knocked out at this stage.
And it would be a full-on failure. It's not so much clickbait as you just kind of referred to it, and we're just trying to
we're
get a reaction.
We're above that, Ali.
We are above that. Much, much, much further above that. And that, let me just say that Manchester United and the team that was out on the field today and the team that has been playing so very well for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer this season should be the favorites and far away favorites in terms of who should win this competition. The other teams, you talk about flawed. You talk about inconsistent. You talk about teams that are not in the same category or should not be in the same category. So the very best of Manchester United should be much better than everybody else that's still involved in the Europa League. Roma today hanging on, I mean barely hanging on against a very average Ajax team. And that's the opposition in the semifinals. I assume, and it's a strong assumption, I assume that Manchester United gets past Roma. And then after that, whether it's Villarreal or whether it's Arsenal, it should be Manchester United all the time. The talent level is superior to everybody else involved in this competition.
Another goal for Cavani today, Don. Obviously, a lot of question marks as to whether or not he'll be at Manchester United next season. Let's talk about their need for a striker, if indeed there is a need for one. If Cavani goes, could you get a Greenwood or a Rashford or a Martial to kind of play that role more consistently? Or do you need to go out and pursue a Harry Kane?
I don't think Rashford nor Martial can be anywhere near as effective as Cavani. I see Greenwood being their number nine for years to come. And when I watch Cavani tonight, I've watched him so many times, especially since he's been to Man United. The guy loves scoring goals, Dan. You can see it in his facial expressions. He absolutely loves it. It means something to him. You know, when I see Rashford or more so Martial, I'm always wanting more from Martial. He doesn't love to score goals. He gets them and he sort of celebrates them, but I think with Greenwood, he's going to be the player that's going to lead Man United's line. It's just...
So would you go Greenwood? Would you put Greenwood in that role and just go, look, I'll spend our money elsewhere and not pursue someone like Harry Kane?
I think the trouble with it, Dan, it's hard because I do see Greenwood leading that line for many a year. But the problem is when people like Kane and people like Haaland come up for sale, if you don't buy them, you're basically strengthening someone else. So if Man City buys Harry Kane or Haaland, and United stick with Greenwood, because in the short term, Greenwood's going to be learning. He's going to be learning off Cavani. He's going to be an unbelievable striker, but you've got to give him, I don't know, a couple of seasons at least to get going, where Man City might steal the march if they go and get Harry Kane or Haaland. So it's a dilemma. It's a hard one, I think, for Ollie to try and fix. But I think if I was Ollie, I would go and get Harry Kane. I think he guarantees you 30 goals every single season. And I think he'd be the striker that you'd want. But for sure, I look at United strikers now and I only see Mason Greenwood that can play as a nine if Cavani left.
I can tell you this, Dan. When you watch Cavani play against Spurs, right, the little movements, in particular in the one in the goal that was brought back because of the foul on McTominay, those little diagonal movements from Cavani, you don't see those from Rashford, you don't see them from Greenwood. Those movements come from guys who know how to play the position and have a feeling for the position that are natural strikers, guys that can move in those little spaces and the timing in which they appear in the box. The diving header against Spurs doesn't happen by accident in that he understands when is his moment to make the run. That timing comes from a natural instinct that Cavani has, that those other guys have in terms of, oh yeah, they can score a goal here and there. And Greenwood may have it long term, but Cavani is a full finished product, whereas all these other guys are still projects in playing the full on striker position.
Gab, who's going to be Manchester United striker at the start of next season? Kane, Haaland, Greenwood, or Cavani?
Ooh. I don't know that the club necessarily, you know, I think Haaland and Kane belong in different categories, because if you talk about Kane, you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to have 5, 6, 7 years at the highest level, and who's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Same as Haaland. Different with Haaland, though, is that, you know, you're going to have him for more than a decade. So for that reason, I think it's more likely that United end up perhaps either renewing Cavani or getting another, you know, veteran striker that they can slot into the Cavani role. Because I agree with what the boy said. Mason Greenwood is the future. You want him to ease him into that position at center forward. You don't want to dump all the responsibility of the world on his shoulders at his young age playing center forward. But you want his playing time to go up. And so, you know, serving an apprenticeship alongside a Cavani or a Cavani type, I think is the best way, and I think is a better option, you know, than going and blowing an enormous amount of money on Harry Kane when there are other positions that also need to be strengthened.
Meanwhile, at the back, Xhaka, De Gea returning in goal today. Obviously, Henderson been playing in the league. This is going to be a big mess for United going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely will, especially if some of those reports that we had about De Gea and how upset he was at being left out and Solskjaer changing his mind, if those are true, I don't think De Gea makes it any easier for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going forward. That being said, this is an opportunity for Solskjaer to kind of show who's boss, show who's the manager, who's picking his starting 11. He has to continue with Henderson, at least during the league games. Whether he continues to use De Gea all the way through in the Europa League, that's fine, and including in the final. We've had this discussion about changing goalkeepers before. But if he reintroduces De Gea as his preferred number one, particularly in the league, anytime between now and the end of the season, I just feel it dents his own authority within that dressing room.
For a lot more on the Champions League, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Stuart Robson in the studio with Gab. He's got a tie on. Look at him. Look how dressed up he is for it.
Yeah.
Fear not, though. Jules joins him via the phone.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So the semi-final lineup, as you know, is well set for the Champions League. It will be PSG against Manchester City, Real Madrid, Chelsea. We thought, as normal, now that we know the lineup, we talk about who you thought was going to go through. Everyone thought the same teams. Everyone thinks City will go through and meet Real Madrid in the final. So we thought we'd put a little twist on it. Let's take a look at PSG against Manchester City. Let's line up all of their players along the wall.
Uh-huh.
We're playing a pickup game.
Okay.
Who are you picking first?
I am picking, controversially perhaps, Neymar. And I'm not picking for the next 10 years.
This game.
I'm picking for now, for this moment, right here, right now, the guy who I think is the difference maker. The guy who I think individually can destroy the dreams of Manchester City. Neymar's talent is so incredibly superior to most of the players that he plays against. So the very best version of Neymar is just a step below Messi and Ronaldo. And the only reason that keeps him below Messi and Ronaldo is himself. But if I can get the very best of him for one moment, for one game, in my pickup game, ideally, I'm picking up Neymar.
Do you agree, Don?
I do. I'm a massive Neymar fan. I know he has his troubles, and I know he's flawed. But when you look at natural talent, he's only behind Messi. You know, his feet are incredible. He's got incredible arrogance. He can go past players for fun. When he turns it on, he can easily be one of the best players in Europe without a shadow of a doubt. He's just inconsistent. But like Ali said, if you're hand-picking a player and the very best version of him turns up, there's only Messi that's better than him. And I love watching him play, Dan. I think he's an absolute genius. I think he's gold dust.
Shaka.
As much as it pains me to agree with both Ali and Don, I'm going to go Neymar as well.
Wow.
And to that point, I think too often you've seen Neymar kind of just more focused on showboating and being a liability. But though he has, before last season, you've not seen anything of him in the latter stages of the Champions League for PSG. Last season, and now this time around, in this late stage of the competition, I think you've seen the best of him in a PSG shirt. So if we're picking right now, quarterfinal stages of the Champions League, I'm going to go Neymar as well.
4 out of 4, Gab?
It's very close. I might decide to go against the grain and pick Kylian Mbappe simply because I think he has a way of stepping up in certain games. But it's going to be one of those two if you're talking about the outstanding individual.
You take a look at Manchester City's then upcoming schedule with regards to how packed it is, how important it is. Remember, this is a side who are still looking to win the quadruple. They got Chelsea in the FA Cup this weekend. The Premier League, you imagine you'll see him as he has been doing, resting some players. It's then the League Cup against Spurs, followed by that, the first leg against PSG, and then a week later, that second leg against PSG. If you take a look at how the bookies have been set with regards to Champions League, they are 5-4 favourites. PSG coming in second, Real Madrid then at 4-1, Chelsea 9-2. Everybody's predictions, as I mentioned, we'll see Manchester City win, the runner-up being Real Madrid. Don, is there not a concern that City could burn out?
There's always that concern, and as Pep always says, you know, to win major trophies, especially the Champions League, it's the fine detail. And I think you got quoted saying today you could play a lot of games across a lot of tournaments and you have one moment of genius, say from Kylian Mbappe or Neymar, and then all of a sudden you don't win the Champions League and Man City are hailed as failures. I think it's very, very harsh on the brand of football and the style that they play. But to try and win all four is going to be difficult. But when you're in City's position now, and when you look at what Pep's doing right across the board, especially in the Premier League, because that is sewn up, he can rest 5, 6, 7 players at any given time and try and prioritise games. I don't think he's ever really done that. He's always tried to play his strongest teams over the years. I think this is the golden chance for him to try and prioritise the Premier League, especially because it's done for the other competitions, especially the Champions League.
Meanwhile, just away from the Champions League, of course, one of the big stories breaking off the pitch was this week was UEFA handing Andrei Kudela a 10-match ban after being found guilty of racially abusing Kamara, of course, in the Rangers game back in the Europa League last month. Shaka, I just want to start with you. 10 matches, some have been calling for a lifetime ban. I just wonder where you stand on this discipline that's been handed out.
I don't think I'd call for a lifetime ban, but there's no question in my mind that 10 games is far too lenient for the offence. Given everything that this world has endured over the last 15 months, given my own belief that I think football can lead by example, I think this was yet again an opportunity lost by UEFA to kind of stake that claim that they are forward thinking, that they are inclusive, to hand out a 10-game ban, I think absolutely ridiculous. And listen, I hear the arguments about, well, regardless of what it was, there would always be people calling for more. I read the histories around suspensions for players who were found guilty of using racist language or racist tone language on social media. I think the efforts to draw some kind of equivalence between Cavani and Bernardo Silva and what they did at this incident is totally disingenuous. And I don't understand how anybody willing to have a serious conversation about the topic kind of draws that parallel. But to the point about the 10-game ban here, Dan, back in December, UEFA handed Kieran Trippier a 10-week ban for betting offences. In that 10 weeks, I think I'm right in saying he would have missed 11 La Liga games, one Copa del Rey game, and one Champions League game. So he would have missed 13 games for a betting offence. What UEFA are saying to every black footballer, to every black fan, to every black person who loves this game, that racism is bad, but it's nowhere near as bad as gambling. That, for me, is a slap in the face of so many who continue to love, support this game, and call out for UEFA to lead by example.
What were UEFA's options here, Gab?
So we haven't had UEFA's written reasons yet, and I think it's important to understand that when they give out punishments, there's two standards. There's the beyond a reasonable doubt standard, and then there's the balance of probabilities standard. You might recall that that's what was used in the Suarez Evra case. What we don't know in Kudela's case is who the other witnesses were who heard him say this, whether there was any other audio or video, and certainly it doesn't appear that there was that way. And so in the end, if you can't get him for a longer ban on a balance of, on a beyond a reasonable doubt if you don't have independent witnesses. And we still don't, we don't know that. You can get him certainly on balance of probabilities with the reaction from Kamara and whatnot. I think it would be a shame if they simply looked at it and said, well, look, 10 games, it's already a record punishment in this situation. This guy turns 34 this year. Well, we'll probably never see him ever again, and he'll just go away. I think the missed opportunity here, and I agree with Shaka, is some kind of resolution where if he continues denying it and doesn't admit it, the only people who and the only people willing to come forward are him and Kamara with different versions of what they said, and perhaps Kamara's teammates, then it becomes very, very difficult for them to give a harsher punishment. So what I would have liked is for him to come forward with an admission, some education, and then you can move on from there. If you do have solid third-party evidence, let's not forget what he did here. This isn't some. These aren't fans singing in the stands. This is a person going up to an opponent, whispering in his ear with his hand covered so that nobody else can see, and racially abusing him in a way to unsettle him, which is about as vile as you can be, short of physically attacking somebody. So this is what he stood accused of. This is extremely grave.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Spurs taking on Everton. We'll be discussing that game and a lot more.
As soon as we came around that corner, you could see just a press of people outside. How are we going to get all these people in?
People were being forced through the turnstiles. We were literally pulling people through the turnstiles to get them out of the crush outside. It was quite normal that a message would be given that the kickoff has been delayed, and that can then be relayed to the fans outside. But there's no plan to delay the kickoff.
We could hear on Sergeant Jakes's radio the voices of police officers getting more and more frantic. And when I say frantic, I mean frantic. You could tell there were an element of fear in the voices. Some poor lad just lost it. I remember this on the radio saying, for f*** sake, open these gates. If you don't open these gates, people are going to die. For f*** sake, please open these gates.
I looked at my car, someone's swearing on the radio. Didn't happen, you just didn't do it.
You would hope that people would see what was happening outside the ground. CCTV would have shown what was happening outside the ground.
There seemed to be a big gap, a big black hole, a big nothingness coming from police control room. It was as if everybody had just frozen.
It's 32 years to the day since the Hillsborough disaster, of course, in which saw 96 fans lose their lives. That's just a snippet there of the brilliant 30 for 30, which I grew up in England. I grew up with all of this going on. But it really is the best piece of television that just gives you the clearest idea of exactly what went wrong and all the dominoes that fell that saw those people lose their lives, and the cover-up, of course, which happened after it. Don, you joined Liverpool the year after the Hillsborough, still very raw in the city, and I know I've spoken to Stevie about this a lot. This is something that has just affected people for generations.
And it always will, Dan. It's incredibly powerful. I joined the club, I think, approximately a year after, and when you get to meet the families, when you're young, when you're 19, 20, you can't quite comprehend, you know, the hurt that they went through and what's actually going on. But I was very lucky at the time. Kenny Dalglish was our manager. We had senior pros like Alan Hansen and John Barnes, guys that had left the club who still do so much work and were doing it at the time and are still doing it today, like John Aldridge. I know Aldo's really passionate about you know, looking after the family still, and so is Kenny and all the older professionals that drummed it into us how important it was to respect the families and respect actually what went on. And it was hard being a youngster. And every year you're reminded, and every year you see footage, and every year you hear families talking about it, especially now on social media. And it's still very raw. I find it incredibly hard to watch, seeing the pain and a lot of the families and the victims' faces, and guys and women that are telling their stories. So it's still very, very hard to deal with.
Thank you very much, Don. Just a reminder, that streams on ESPN Plus now, the 30-30 for Hillsborough. We've all heard it. We've all kind of have an idea what Hillsborough is all about. It's not an easy watch, as Don says. Very difficult to see some of those scenes. But I would implore you to go and watch it if you haven't watched that tonight. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It's the final of the Copa del Rey on Saturday. Athletic Bilbao taking on Barcelona. It's a game that's live on ESPN+, brought to you by Sebastian Salazar and Alejandro Moreno.
Hey, hey!
What a moment. 3:30 Eastern. Be sure to tune in. Meanwhile, let's check out what happened in CONCACAF Champions League. For the quarterfinals, we'll see Portland take on Club America. Meanwhile, Atlanta United taking on Philadelphia Union. That is five teams, because we're saying that Columbus are going to go through, that will be representing MLS in the quarterfinals. And just a reminder, an MLS side in this format has never won the CONCACAF Champions League, as we welcome Casey Keller to the show. Casey, I feel I've done this show for 9 years now, and I feel this time of year I ask exactly the same question. Is this the year that an MLS side will finally win CONCACAF Champions League?
Well, they got to have the best chance ever with five in the quarterfinals. I think if they can get two MLS teams in the final, there's a really good chance for MLS teams to win it.
That's it, Adam.
Well, I suppose so. And here's the thing. This is what we know for certain. They got to get past the Mexican teams. And that is a test that it seems like MLS teams are getting closer. Seems like it's only a matter of time. But we, as you just mentioned, we've been having this conversation that MLS is gaining. MLS is gaining. They just haven't been able to break through that threshold just yet. And to me, they had as good a chance as they could possibly have asked for with LAFC last year in the final. And yet, they came up short. I feel like, yeah, maybe this is a year. But then again, maybe last year was a year, and the
Toronto
year before was a
Leon.
Year.
No, that was impressive last night, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's impressive, but it just feels like it right now. Quarterfinal, semifinal. This is when you got to get past the Mexican team.
Yeah.
And when you play a team like Tigres, who just seems to, any time that they meet against an MLS team in a stage that matters in this competition, Tigres seem to advance. Monterrey has been very good in this competition in the past. But already you have one in the semifinals, because Atlanta and Philadelphia are going to play against each other.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go with Case's theory of getting as many MLS teams in, you already have one in the semifinals. That gives you at the very least, a fighting chance.
Of course, we see the start of the new MLS season this week. It all kicks off tomorrow. Plenty of games for you on ESPN. Plus, over the weekend, it starts with Houston Dynamo against San Jose Earthquakes. That game at 8 p.m. Eastern. Looking ahead to it, we asked Ali what he was most looking forward to about the start of a new season, and no surprise what his answer was.
MLS is back, baby. But you know what? You know who else is back? This man, Joseph Martinez. And what a legend this guy is. My guy, my friend. Vamos, Venezuela! Joseph Martinez is back. Joseph, how are you, bud?
I'm very, very real. Happy to see you, man. And I'm so happy to see that. Vamos, Venezuela. I love that. Every time I saw that on the TV.
Of course, out for most of last year, that ACL tear. Mm-hmm. Some whiter teeth, definitely, Joseph Martinez has going into the start of the season, looking into it. Ali, arguably the best player in the league when he's on top form.
Yeah, and perhaps what we saw, if you didn't know that before, what we saw certainly from him last year when he wasn't available is that he is the most important player for Atlanta United. Without him on the field, Atlanta United became irrelevant. They really had no power up top. They had no way to score in goals, no dynamic movement. He left a huge, huge hole there that nobody was able to make up the difference. And then so you look at Atlanta United and Gabriel Heinze, and he comes in as a new coach and it's a post-De Boer era. The one thing that you want to get right is Joseph Martinez being healthy. And in talking to him in that particular interview, the thing that struck me the most was how he said, you know what? The best thing for me right now is that I'm healthy and I want to get stronger and I want to make sure that I'm ready for the season and I'm going to take every game as it comes, but I'm going to ease my way into the season. And then once I trust my body, once I trust what I can do physically on the field, once I can trust my knee is going to withhold and withstand the pressure that I'm going to put on it, then I can be the best version of myself. And the best version of Jose Martinez is very much at the top of MLS.
Casey, when we were talking about the start of the new season, it wasn't necessarily what was happening on the pitch that got you excited, but in the stands.
Yeah, very much so. I think we all missed not having fans in the stadium last season. And then near the end of the season, we saw a filtration of small groups getting into the matches, and it made a huge difference. You know, now for the start of this season, we're seeing a lot more fans being allowed into the stands, and you know, I'm just excited to be calling games, to being in the stadium and having that buzz again, because it's a huge loss. You know, that's the reason why, you know, we love watching games on TV, but the reason why you're watching them in person is because it's the environment. It's just a different situation, and so I'm just excited that we're going to have fans back in the stadium.
It's going to be exciting as well, especially with some of the new franchises coming in as well. Let's take a look, shall we, at the predictions for the new MLS season. Ali, of course, has gone for Columbus to win the Sportless Shield with his Columbus ways. LAFC, though, to win MLS Cup. MVP Carlos Vela. Carlos Vela. Why is Hurt put Charlie Kendall?
Because, you know, he tried to be cute, him and Seven Hurt. Cute, we're full of Americas, we're so cool, yeah, Charlie Kendall. So hip, we're soccer hipsters now. Come on.
Wow, you're a special guest on that show, Ali.
What? As I said, Seven Hurt, trying to be cool, soccer hipsters. Yes, I was a special guest in that show. And in that show, it was interesting that Bob Bradley actually came on and was talking about the expectations for LAFC, and he said that they focus on getting better, on every day improving as a team, every year becoming better. Well, that's very nice, and it's good rhetoric, and I suppose it's as good a message as you can send your team. But there's an expectation that LAFC should follow up all the good performances and should follow up all the goodwill that they have built up in this league with a championship, with a title. Stop threatening. Stop telling me how good you're going to be. Stop telling me how Carlos Vela is in the best shape of his life and he's going to be this guy. He's going to score these goals. Great. It's time for LAFC to continue this momentum, build on the momentum, and now show up with a trophy that matters.
Meanwhile, what a shot. Casey Keller going for Seattle Sounders to win MLS Cup.
Well, but what was amazing, though, Dan, is you just put that list of matches on and then you totally skipped the Sounders-Minnesota game on Friday. So if that's the respect that Sounders are getting for being in the final the last four out of the last 5 years, I get it. That's why they're picked.
I didn't look at the list.
When it matters, the Sounders are in the final.
Okay, Casey, you really think that Dan is invested in building this graphic?
I didn't even see her on the list. Oh, we're only on the Friday list, I'm sure. Whoever built the graphic has put it incorrectly. Just a reminder, a lot more serious debate about what's going on for the start of the new MLS season and reflections on the chances of an MLS side finally winning the CONCACAF Champions League. Be sure to download the latest edition of Football America's. Sebi is joined by Pato, looking ahead to the start of the new season.
What about Charlie Campbell? No Charlie Campbell?
Oh, my goodness. Meanwhile, our first game's a bit special, isn't it? Inter Miami taking on LA Galaxy live on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on ABC. And for more ahead of the start of the new MLS season, be sure to check out the 2021 MLS Preview show. That drops on ESPN on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a reminder, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe over to our YouTube channel. It's called ESPN FC.
Ooh.
On there are many old Shaka Power rankings. Oh, here is the latest version of the ranking. Shaka, take us through it.
The latest and the best, Dan. You forgot to add that in.
Okay.
Number 10, Benfica. Only third in Portugal, but they've won the last seven. Atalanta, Lille, United. Down to six after they got knocked out, despite beating PSG. Chelsea in at five. Inter still there, somehow or the other. PSG up to third.
Wow.
Mm. Man City down to second. I know they're through, but they lost the lead, so they suffer a little bit. And then Real Madrid top this week's power rankings. I can't remember when last Real were top, but there you go.
A la Madrid, eh? Don, you've always got an opinion on this. What's wrong?
Well, you know what I'm going to say, Shaq, didn't you? I was at Chelsea when West Brom walloped them 5-2 and Bayern Munich have just gone out of the Champions League. Guess what team I want at number one? They're not even in your top 10. Glasgow Rangers.
Oh, he's still banging on about this. It's like a broken record.
They're unbeaten. They're unbeaten.
But they're playing Scotland, Dom.
How can a team... Right, how can a team that's unbeaten not be in the top 10?
Wait, but Don, how are Glasgow Rangers doing in the Europa League?
Did they join Celtic a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. What happened in the Europa League?
They're going to be invincible. They're going to be invincible. What?
Celtic have won two of their last five. And one of those was against
Celtic. What are you talking about?
Rangers. I have to look them up.
What are you talking about? Celtic.
That can't count. That can't count. We just can't
so
be
losing
Dan.
Games,
I mean, done.
Right? So losing games like Chelsea and Bayern have done still keeps you in the top 10. But winning every single week and being invincible
didn't win in the Europa League.
The top
what
10.
Happened in the Europa League, Don?
Well, that was
Rangers
6 months ago.
Have won two
that was
of
six
their
months
last five.
Ago.
I do have a very specific
Rangers
question.
Rangers have won two of the last five, Don.
Shaq, I have a very specific zero. Question. Very specific.
Oh.
So, PSG, you have a number three, right? But they trail Lille in Ligue 1. See, Lille is number one in their own league, and yet you have PSG above Lille. Don't quite understand that, Shaq.
Yeah. Well, when I plugged in the data into the algorithm, because PSG just knocked out. PSG just knocked out Bayern. Bayern were number one a couple weeks ago.
All credibility.
Bayern were number one a couple weeks ago.
If you're going to consider results, PSG did lose to Bayern in their latest match. And Lille just beat PSG.
It's all
Lille
nonsense.
Just beat PSG.
I'm being told to wrap it up. Good. Right. That's it. Be sure to check out Extra Time, by the way. Don tells us why he doesn't believe in tipping.
Oh, boy. Controversial. Oh, controversy.
Oh, goodness. Does it have to do with Glasgow Rangers?
Meanwhile, Leipzig have the chance to close the gap to just 2 points at the top of the Bundesliga. On Friday, they play host to Hoffenheim, that game live on ESPN+. What a match that should be at 2:30 Eastern. And we've got a full round of action of Italian games for you. Looking ahead to that on the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast. Be sure to download that now. And here are your games, of course, on ESPN+. All start on Saturday, four of them for you. And then on Sunday, six games, including Napoli against Inter. That's a 2:45 kickoff. But be sure to join us at 2 p.m. on ESPN+ for a comprehensive preview of that game. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much. Great weekend coming up of action.
Absolutely.
It should be really good, Ali. And I mean that as well.
sarcasm?
No sarcasm. A lot of big games, a lot of interesting ties. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. I'm also very much looking forward to that.
Sarcasm there.
No, definitely not. Welcome into the Extra Time Studios. As always, thank you very much for your questions. Ali with me in the studio. We also welcome Shaq at Hinslop and Don with us. Don, you got a hair. You were singing I've Got a Haircut song.
Oh, no, I can't see you. I'm looking at myself. I can't even see anyone.
Oh, there you are. Well, don't worry. Well, we're recording this now. We're doing it. So maybe don't touch your hair as much. Are you happy with the haircut?
I like it. I think I look streamlined. I think I look fit.
How much did you pay for it?
£30.
Wow. 30. Wow, so that's what? $40.
That's not a $40 haircut.
Yeah, there was a little bit of hair product in there as well. So
fancy.
I reckon about £22, £23.
And what did you tip?
Just give him a straight £30.
Oh. So that you no tip?
Nah, you don't need a tip, do you?
And there it is.
There it is.
We got to it. We got to it in the end.
Your job is to cut my hair. What's the price?
Sometimes you question whether or not Don is.
The price?
You question whether or not Don is really Scottish, but there we are. Yep, definitely ticks that box. Shaka, how impressed are you with Courtois' form this season? Is he one of the best goalkeepers in the world right now?
Yes, I've been very impressed, and right now he is one of the best in the world. I don't think that's any question. Previously, I'd mentioned the likes of Alisson, Manuel Neuer as being ahead of him, but Alisson hasn't been that great of late. Neuer had that mistake in the first
leg. So is he the best at the moment, Shane?
You know, I'm still having Keylor Navas over Courtois.
All right, there you go. Don, for Chelsea, is it a successful season if they don't win anything and finish fifth?
No, that's a horrendous season. What sort of question's that? That might be the worst question ever. Outside the top four and no silverware. Disaster.
Disaster.
I'm very angry for a guy who just got a haircut.
Don, here we go. Here we go.
I've just done Villarreal Zagreb. Cut me some slack.
Don, so in theory, if you get your visa sorted, you're going to be here in the studio for the Euros.
Oh.
Now, when we go out together, where we will go out, you have to tip 20%. Yeah. This is going to be an absolute disaster for you. Two of your worst things coming together, tipping and math.
And maths. All I'm going to say, Dan, is how much is the meal? How much do I need to give him?
I could have some fun with that.
I bet you could, yeah. £20 meal, how much do you owe? 100.
Double the first number, Don. That's all you have to remember. So, what percentage would you give PSG, Real Madrid, Chelsea and Manchester City of winning the Champions League?
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Come on, Don.
I don't think Chelsea get anywhere near the final.
Right. So what percent are we giving them?
Chelsea, zero.
Right, okay.
Ooh, hello.
Wow, zero.
I'm massively, massively torn. I literally can't make my mind up who's going to win, Man City or PSG.
Okay, and so PSG, what percentage of Real Madrid to win the Champions League?
This is 40?
Difficult. 40?
No, not 40, no. Right. That's too high, no, that's too high.
Who said 40? You said, didn't you say 40? Okay, here we go.
I've got no idea.
Going.
I've got no idea.
Right, well.
Hang on.
Okay.
Yep. Hang on.
There we go. Need a haircut again.
You got to leave a tip. Think about it.
Right, here we go.
Right.
Here we go. Man City, 40%.
Yes. Right.
PSG, 40%.
Yes.
Real Madrid, 20%.
Whoa!
Wow, Chelsea, 0%.
I mean, I've got no idea how I come to that conclusion because I've already got Real Madrid in the final, so that didn't even make sense.
No, that's all right, Don. They make it through to the final, but then probably lose against City or PSG. That's where you're going. Chelsea, you hate them.
Okay.
Don, what percentage... Oh, well, we just did that one. Shaka.
Oh, my days.
Shaka, could you have played in the modern era? Because of the demand of playing out from the back.
Well, let me just say, I used to play a lot out on the pitch when back in my college days.
Oh. Yes.
I was kind of good too, you know.
Oh.
I think I could have adapted.
Really?
Oh.
I've got a few goals to my name, albeit in college. Oh. I think I would have adapted quite well, thank you very much.
Oh. Don, you played with Shaka. How do you think he would be in the modern era playing out of the back?
Yeah, percentage-wise, zero.
Right. Ali, what MLS team do you support? MLS, of course, starts this weekend.
I don't support anybody, Dan.
No?
No.
Do you root against?
I won't root against anybody either.
No.
But if, indeed, I were to say that there is a team that I have a close relationship with, I would say the Columbus Crew.
Columbus Crew?
Yeah.
What about Philadelphia Union?
Not as close a relationship. Close, but not as close.
Can we tell the story of the Philadelphia Union?
Which one?
The paycheck story. Is that allowed?
I suppose. I was doing the games for the Philadelphia Union.
You were calling them. You were the color commentator for the in-house channel. Yeah.
Yes, and maybe I was a little bit less positive than I should have been with the team that I was covering. To be fair to me, the team was terrible.
Right, you're being honest.
I was being honest. And honesty is the best policy.
Yep.
Those that were in a decision-making position for the club perhaps did not appreciate it, so I got slapped in the wrist and I was asked to highlight the positives of the other team rather than highlight the negatives of our own team, the Philadelphia Union. To which I replied in a very non-positive manner. Well, put a good team on the field and I'll be positive.
And wasn't that a note attached to your paycheck?
Well, yes. The next game, the Union played, I believe it was against Seattle. And the team played well, and I think the game, they won 3-2, or it was 2-2. But I was all excited about the goals of the Philadelphia Union, and I was pumped up and all these things and highlighting everything that they were doing. And so the next time I got a paycheck, it's, you know, like, really like your job, but that's how we like you to do your job.
Oh, selling out to the man, Ali.
So since then, perhaps my relationship with the Philadelphia Union hasn't been nearly as close as it should have been.
Don, you left a lot of clubs with bad taste. What were your main approaches used to get out of a club that you were unhappy at?
I've never, ever, ever tried to get out of a club.
No? Did you play so
really
badly then?
Not really. No, it actually went quite good. So Hartlepool very early on got bought to Liverpool. No, then
we don't know your Wikipedia page. Right.
Well, no, but there was two or three transfer records in there, so everything went quite well for the buy-in club.
Who among the ESPN FC crew always seems to forget their wallet, keys, phones? Were you this forgetful during your playing career, like for training times, making the team bus on your plane, not remembering set plays and or instructions for coaches, etc.? We just a whole segment on Steve Nicol during this, really, couldn't we? The time that Stevie thought his car had been stolen from the ESPN car park and called security and he'd just forgotten where he parked it. During regular occasions, I've been told...
All the time.
Yeah.
Or the time that he left his car running all day long yes. while he did a game commentary on the show.
Yes.
That's also Steve Nicholas.
Or the time in which he forgot his luggage in the